Greetings, everybody. This is Tabitha. Welcome to a new edition show over on the network. This is a new show I just started right now called Health Bites with Tabitha. It'll be these little short shows where I just go over a couple of different things just to kind of keep it fresh with more broadcasts on the network. So today we're going to talk about a little bit about vaccination. Very interesting information about how the effects of vaccination are multi-generational. And this gets me thinking, especially with what's going on currently in the world with the OADAI vaccination. Oh, and by the way, today is April 16th, 2021, broadcasting out of New York for the American National Radio Network. That was just some groovy Vedic music over on the YouTube. So I want to read a little bit from Agnes van der Planet's book, We Want to Live, The Primal Diet. This book was originally published back in, I think it was 93. Yeah, 93, and then lastly in 2005. Nevertheless, it's still very current. So I wanted to share this information about the multi-generational effects of vaccination and just some other stuff that may be news to you, the listener. So here we go. I am reluctant to mention the harm that vaccines produce because most everyone is adamantly brainwashed that vaccines produce immunity. And that does seem to be changing, which is really good. However, I would be negligent to ignore how vaccines actually affect health. Allopathic medicine is based on the quote germ theory that microbes and viruses cause disease. Medical science bases the use of vaccines on the theory that the body forms antibodies to quote fight natural viruses. They believe that these antibodies live on after the virus is contained, thereby creating immunity. First, we must consider the facts known to elevate medicine's viral theory. Science has proved that viruses are not alive, that they are predominantly protein, that they contain organic DNA. Science has proved that viruses increase only in the presence of live cells and that they cause certain cells and or parts of cells to dissolve. So if that's a cell that is a damaged cell, that's a good thing. What is believed and taken as fact but not proved is that viruses are non-discriminatingly destructive, quote, things that self-replicate. And this is all part of their equality pogrom, their black cube equality pogrom. The whole germ theory or joom theory is about equalizing everyone when essentially in a real world based in reality, there's a natural hierarchy. That is like saying that laundry soap, because it is found in homes inhabited by humans, self-replicates. Those assumptions and conclusions are shallow and ludicrous. Medical science operates from fear and it attacks the body. All medical procedures for treating dis-ease are written by the pharmaceutical-related individuals and groups. That is a severe conflict of interest, self-produced health, or medication-dependent profit. Which do you think they want? A rational and logical conclusion would be that viruses are solvents, cleansers, manufactured by an individual cell to dissolve degenerative tissue, dis-ease, caused by an accumulated waste and industrial toxins, including medicine. So all this germ theory stuff, all this idea of what they're doing now with the OAID AI vaccination, basically making it impossible for people to basically manufacture viruses when they need a detox, they are making people into biological degenerates. They've already done it to their soul, you know, and their psyche and their spirit and all of that. But, and they've been doing it to their bodies for a long time too. But the whole goal of vaccination is to make people into biological degenerates. It's insanely obvious. Viruses contain DNA because cells have used substances within themselves to synthesize viruses. DNA is part of that. When the cleansing and healing process cease, cells stop producing large amounts of viruses. So there we hear it right here. When you are done detoxifying, you no longer have to produce the viruses. So anyone who's producing these viruses, it's because they're toxic. And that's the final microbe that your body produces when you're in a real state of toxicity. The bacteria, the fungi, the parasites, those are all much more mild toxicity. But if someone is actually at the point where their cells have to produce viruses in order to detox, that means that person is pretty toxic. So people always saying like, oh, this person's so healthy, how come he or she got the flu or OAID AI or whatever they want to believe? The person wasn't healthy. That was an illusion. Normally, healthier bodies symbiotically utilize bacteria and parasites, what I was just saying, to cleanse themselves of cellular degenerative tissue and organic waste. They are the body's preferred genitors. Bacteria and parasites consume the degenerative tissue and organic wastes and reduce it to a tiny fraction of the original mass eaten. They can consume 100 times their weight and reduce it to a 1% excretion. That's pretty intense. When eating a healthy raw diet, our bodies easily secrete and or excrete 1% excretions from bacteria and parasites. However, when bodies become too toxic with industrial toxins, including medicines, the bacteria and the parasites are poisoned to death. Under such toxic conditions, the only cleansing method that the body can utilize is virus. So cells synthesize viruses. I reiterate, viruses are solvents that dissolve degenerative tissue and organic waste. They are beneficial in preventing dis-ease. They do not cause dis-ease. So this OAID AI vaccination that's going to make it impossible for cells to produce viruses to help you detox is going to cause disease and make everyone into these biological degenerates, these cellular degenerates. They are beneficial in preventing dis-ease, and they do not cause dis-ease. The symptoms that accompany a viral, bacterial, or parasitical detoxification are a necessary process that can be mitigated with the consumption of plenty of raw eggs and raw dairy fats. So here we go. We have a solution, right? As opposed to suffering through it. It's better actually to suffer through it, but to be prepared with the right food as opposed to taking some type of allopathic potion that will suppress the detox, right? It's like suppressing a detox, like I've said many times, like if you take Mucinex, if your nose is mucousy, that is like taking something to hold in a bowel movement or urine or something like that, extremely toxic. The key is we should trust nature and understand the body and nature and not fear them. And of course, the whole allopathic system is based upon us fearing our body, the war on microbes, the war on the body, the war on cancer, right? We're always fighting our body. The whole idea of a autoimmune dis-ease, it was your body that turned against you. You're the problem. You're filthy. You're dirty. You're a sinner. Autoimmune dis-ease is toxicity. They utilize that phrase, autoimmune. That's a psyop. Someone who has autoimmune is toxic and malnourished, okay? They're getting poisoned. It isn't their problem, like their body is toxic. This is so Abrahamic. It's so obvious. Okay, back to the text. Inoculating people to prevent viral infections is ridiculous and dangerous. After many years of experimentation, Louis Pasteur realized that his idea of vaccination was doomed. He confessed on his deathbed that to his assistants that a poor or toxic environment within the body creates dis-ease. Microbes do not cause dis-ease. If only everybody would realize that, right? Regarding the immediate trauma that vaccines cause in many people, the eminent scientist and physician Dr. William F. Koch, MD and PhD, said, "The injection of any serum, vaccine, or even penicillin has shown a very marked increase in the incidence of polio, at least 400%. Statistics are so conclusive that nobody can deny it. The long-term effects of vaccines are just as harmful. Vaccines are made of dis-ease. So how can injecting something into our system that is made of dis-ease prevent dis-ease, right? That's allopathy, other suffering. Vaccines are made of dis-ease, mercury, aluminum, formaldehyde, and other poisonous chemicals. Pharmaceutical houses manufacture dis-eases in animal tissue. The diseases are sterilized to make vaccines. Sterilization alters the RNA, the DNA structure, and actions of disease and viruses. When a sterilized disease or virus enters the body tries to analyze it and create antibodies to regulate the disease or the virus. The body cannot find the logical reason for the unnatural disease or virus, nor can it find the key to the time that the bacteria or virus will be active. Therefore, the body creates mutant antibodies that do not go dormant for up to decades. So the antibodies theory is the body's reaction for being poisoned from the vaccination. These mutant antibodies remain active long after the disease or virus becomes inactive. And that's why you have to keep on getting the flu shot, 8AI, whatever, all these booster shots, because it's just a way of poisoning people. That's all it ever was. It's miscegenational bioweaponry. That's all vaccination is. And I even posted the day on Telegram that, of course, things like mass immigration and miscegenation have been huge problems for our people. But the biggest problem we face is this vaccination thing, because we can see that race mixing is bad. We can see that mass migration into our lands is bad, but this vaccination thing, people's heads are in a cloud. That is the worst part about it. So these mutant antibodies remain active long after the disease or virus becomes inactive. The mutant antibodies eat subparticles from the inside of amino acid proteins in the blood. That renders proteins unstable, right? So people are probably going to not be able to bioavailably utilize their foods, especially if they're eating a lot of crud. The amount of proteins damaged and lost to mutant antibodies depends on the number of vaccines. Because amino acids are the primary building blocks of cells, the consequence is cellular malnutrition. So here we have a situation where someone is being poisoned, and then they go into a stead of cellular malnutrition based on the poisoning. They were probably prior malnourished in the first place to actually believe that vaccination was anything but a hollow hoax. In all animals, the malnutrition causes gradual genetic mutations, resulting in weakness, dis-ease, malfunctions, and deformities. And how many people these days do we see who just have all these problems? It's encompassing, right? And even those commercials on YouTube for St. Jude's Children's Hospital, they're softening up us to the idea that children are ill, that they lose their hair from cancer, quote, treatments, that they have tubes up their nose. They're normalizing sickness, essentially. The lifespan of mutant antibodies varies from at least 1 year, penicillin, to up to 50 years for polio. So if someone's got multiple vaccines in their body and multiple antibiotics, that means all of these mutant antibodies are probably going to be with you for your life, right? Especially if you're not eating a detox diet, and most people don't. Each vaccine multiplies the number of mutant antibodies, which increases cellular malnutrition and results in greater weakness, dis-ease, malfunction, and deformities. Table 1 shows the reported incidence of polio in the year 1958, before the compulsory vaccination law. This was new to me, the compulsory polio vaccine law, and one in 1959 when the law was adopted. Only 4 states and 1 city kept records. The statistics show that the polio vaccine actually created the disease that it was purported to have protected, which of course is exactly what's happening right now. Exactly what's happening right now. Same thing happened during the AIDS PSYOP of the, you know, 80s and 90s and such. So here's a table. Number of polio cases reported in 5 areas before and after the polio vaccination became compulsory. So back in 58, it was not compulsory. In 59, it was. In Connecticut, it went up 273%, the incidence of, quote, polio after the vaccination. In LA, it went up 213%. North Carolina, 401%. Ohio, 306%. And Tennessee, 324%. And there's a note saying Ohio had an escape clause and many people declined inoculation. Therefore, there were fewer incidents of polio. So every disease they tell us that vaccination has been the savior for caused the disease in the first place. 82% of all the people who had polio in 1959 listed above had been vaccinated with 1 or more polio vaccines. 20% had had at least 3 polio vaccinations. Polio vaccines create polio. And what's the number of OIAID vaccinations they're promoting people? Isn't it 3? I haven't been following this crud too much because it's just, it's exhausting. I'd rather spend the time on the broadcast to really expose what vaccination is. This is the most important thing right now. Not talking in circles and twaddling on about stuff that no one understands, like some people are doing, even in the terrain theory confines, or just debating the vaccine. Debating the vaccine is like debating pedophilia, essentially, right? Obviously, we know that's wrong and disgusting and horrific. That's the same thing for vaccination. And what's mind-zing is I saw some wild post that was on Telegram. I think it had come from Twitter, though. Someone was likening people who didn't want to get the OIAID AI vaccine to pedophiles. Like, oh, they need to be tracked and traced. You know, they're a threat to society. They're a danger. So, I mean, of course, they would utilize something like that. They want to call you anything, any bad name they can that you're not, just so you'll succumb. Back to the text. 82% of all of the people who had polio in 1959 had been vaccinated. We talked about that already. They had 3 vaccines, and that, of course, creates polio. Vaccines have other immediate side effects. There is temporary or permanent paralysis, Guillain-Barré, associated with any type of vaccine, including the flu shots. Almost everyone receiving a vaccine of any sort suffers some of the following side effects: blindness, brain damage, convulsions, death, dizziness, other serious disease, fever, headaches, hepatitis, impotence, irritability, muscular pain, soreness, nausea, skin eruptions, and dis-ease, sore throat, stiffness, and vomiting. And now these Zogbots are telling you that's how we know it's working, because we get sick. So basically, when you're sick, you know the medicine is working. Can you imagine? People are actually brainwashed to believe this. It's like when someone's on, like, quote, chemotherapy, thinking, oh, I'm sick. You know, like, it's working. It's working. Wow. That's just unbelievable. They've gaslit people so hard. Former Secretary of War Henry L. Stimson reported that at a military boot camp in only a 6-month period, there were 63 deaths and 25,585 cases of hepatitis as a direct result of the yellow fever vaccine. Yet, doctors and the pharmaceutical houses say vaccines are miraculous, choosing to ignore the harmful effects. Is it because vaccines generate several billion dollars a year? Is it frightening that our children are the main target? And they just, I think, now they're saying they have, you know, limited edition with the OIAID AI vaccine, limited edition, get it now, you know, gonna sell out, that they're going to start soon. They've approved it for youngsters over the age of 2, which is just, it's horrifying. I know that pediatricians are going to be promoting this. I have a feeling that veterinarians are going to be promoting this. I experimented with vaccines in animals, rats, cats, and rabbits, and found that the mutations compounded with each succeeding inoculated generation. This is the point I really wanted to reiterate or to drive home on this broadcast: the multi-generational effects of vaccination, not just the OIAID AI vaccination, vaccination in general, toxicity in general. This is very important. In the second generation, with all 3 types of animals, mutations started as a slight deformation of the ear, the eye, the jowl, a shortened limb, or scoliosis. Glandular malfunctions were prominent. In some animals, temperaments became exceedingly unruly. In the 6th and 7th generations, mutations were severe. Loss of glands, organs, limbs, features, motor and neural functions, brutal, suicidal, and homicidal tendencies, and impotence resulting in extinction. So essentially, genocide, genocide. Miscegenational bioweaponry equals genocide. In my experience, of all of the pharmaceuticals that are accepted as miracles, vaccines are the most dangerous because the side effects are often more subtle or attributed to another problem or ignored altogether. These side effects become obvious after the 3rd and 4th generations. That is when the mutations start to become exaggerated and pitiful. With humans, this will probably be apparent by the year 2050, and that was only 6 years ago, and that was pretty much around the time that we had the 100-year anniversary of vaccination, right? And when you think back, the boomer generation, 1946, 1964, they were really the first generation that got the big treatment of vaccination. The silent generation that came prior, which is like 1928 to 1945, they got a little of it. And there are still some of those people left, but some of the greatest generation, the people who were like my grandparents' age, they really didn't get too much of the vaccinations, especially if they were born in the old country. They oftentimes didn't do that stuff or keep records. So now we have essentially 100 years of this this pogrom, this miscegenational pogrom of bioweaponry, which vaccination is. And look around, look at a lot of the youth, especially since they bumped up the vaccination schedule like in the mid-80s, around the time when, you know, like the I guess, old to middle millennial generation was being born and then getting vaccinated for the public fooling system, for college, for all of this stuff. So now we see all these youngsters that have so many of these problems. And it's not just because they've been vaccinated to the hilt, they've been fed a crud diet. Yeah, that's definitely part of it. But it's also the multi-generational aspect of the vaccines in their grandparents, their parents, them, their children, so on and so forth. While I was experimenting with moldy foods as possible remedies for particular health problems, Owanza, this is a woman who Agnes von der Planitz helped with her health. She was very, very ill. I think she had like 60 tumors, was assisting me, discovering that eating moldy berries affected the mutant antibodies caused by vaccines. This is pretty interesting stuff. She placed raspberries and blackberries and strawberries in separate glass containers with lids that were not tight. She let them sit at a room temperature until a healthy mold had formed. This will probably happen pretty quickly. Then she placed them still in glass containers with loose lids in the fridge for 10 weeks. After the 10 weeks, Owanza strained the moldy berries through a porous sieve separately. The mold juices were ready for my subjects. And most people will be like, oh my God, mold? I thought we're trying to clean the body of mold. So of course, everyone has a different belief on what to do with microbes, right? Blood analysis were done on 11 people with long histories of vaccinations with specific focus on amino acids. All subjects had minor complaints ranging from headaches to joint pain. For one time only, each person drank a half a cup of one kind of mold juice of the particular berry they normally appealed to their taste. Their drinks were not altered. Blood analysis were done 30 days after drinking mold juice. Analysis showed an average of 30% increase in the stable amino acids over previous analysis. There was only one side effect as a result of drinking the mold juice. Everyone became lethargic for a period of 30 days. After that period, everyone's energy level and health increased sharply above what it had been before drinking the mold juice. Health complaints either diminished or disappeared. Between 13 and 18 months after they drank the mold juice, three of the people planned to get vaccinations for travel reasons. Blood analyses were done before inoculations and again a month after the inoculations. The post-inoculation analysis showed a 30% drop in stable amino acids. 24 months after taking the mold juice, all 11 had blood analysis. In 8 of them, the stable proteins in their blood remained high. In the 3 who had recent vaccinations, stable proteins were still down, and the health complaints that they had had prior to drinking the mold juice returned. So there we are, just a little bit from this book, We Want to Live, again, authored by Agnes von der Planitz. I was just reading this little piece from Appendix D about vaccination, just so everyone just to drive it home, because I know we all grew up with this belief, this like germ belief. This is, I would say, the biggest psyop in the world. Yeah, the XT entity psyop is huge. And there are a lot of other psyops that, you know, even the selection or the political psyop is huge for a lot of people. Being inculcated with the media, the food psyop. Of course, the food psyops relate directly to germ theory because they use germ theory to get us scared of our natural human diet. That's why it's utilized, because otherwise we'd be eating all the foods they told us are going to cause all these terrible problems. And what do? These foods help improve health, or they create vibrant health. Of course, they don't want you to know that, because they want you to be ill. Because if you're healthy and strong, well, that's of no benefit to them, right? So they have to give you all this fear propaganda that all these foods are going to cause all these problems, all these medical problems, when the food they recommend to you is going to cause medical problems. But they always have to tell you the opposite and then give you the poison. Otherwise, you wouldn't take it. Like with Oyate AI, if they told people, by the way, we're going to be injecting poison into you, it's going to really seriously affect your immune system permanently. It's going to alter your DNA. Oh, and by the way, this vaccination is even like worse for you. Your body is never going to be able to even manufacture viruses, because this vaccination is taking away the opportunity for you to detox your body on a deep level. Do you want it? Oh, by the way, it's also a form of bioweaponry and it's miscegenation. Are you interested? Most people probably wouldn't be interested unless they were like serious sadist. So of course they have to wrap it in this package of fear and whatever, like a glitzy bow, people all over anti-social media promoting it, being ecstatic that they got it. I mean, they have to do this inversion, but this is the biggest psyop in the world. This keeps us from our natural relationship with nature. This keeps us from our natural human diet. This keeps us from naturally engaging and being close to people. Look at what the AIDS psyop did to people. And people were afraid to even kiss people. I remember when the whole AIDS psyop was going on, I was really young. I fell for it. I fell for a lot of it, thinking like, oh my God, if I kiss somebody, I'll get AIDS, you know, or HIV. And a lot of people I've talked to who are about my age, they were scared of it too. It had this feeling where like you would just, anyone you could touch, even if the person like, quote, looked clean, you could get something from them, right? I mean, it's crazy. And it wasn't true. It wasn't true. They had given people what they eventually called AIDS. They had given that to people based on the hepatitis B vaccination or the smallpox vaccination. And a lot of these people who had gotten HIV were, you know, or the test had said HIV, and that's where the whole PCR test thing goes back to that. They were people who were living these really toxic lifestyles, who weren't taking care of themselves, who were doing lots of drugs, weren't sleeping, you know, having sex with just random people. And even if you can't catch a disease from having sex with random people, you can get their toxins on you or into you through their excretion. So like, if you were going to have sex with someone who was just like a really toxic person, then those toxic excretions are going to go on to you, whether it's sweat, saliva, you know, reproductive fluids, whatever it may be. There's no way you can get a disease from it, but you can get toxicity from it, right? And that can cause disease. But the whole idea that like you can pick up a disease in that way, like an STD, that's a hoax. It's just toxins. They always like to use something like virus, parasite, you know, fungi, whatever they have to use, bacteria, to basically cover up the fact that they're poisoning people. And it's a ruse. It works really well. Unfortunately, it stinks. It really does. But this is the biggest psyop. This is the biggest psyop because it ties to the food. And if someone can't use their brain and think in like a normal way, how are they going to be able to see what's going on in the world, especially since so many people are addicted to junk food in the first place, right? Even if they're, quote, meat eaters, they're still addicted to junk food. It's really not a vegan argument. That's just part of it. That's like full retard, but it's worse than that. Thoughts as Seeds is saying in the comments, the young fall for the AIDS psyop because the adults fail to discern truth. Yeah, that's probably definitely what it was. And I don't even know what my parents really thought of it. I guess they somewhat believed it too, but I always remember with the whole AIDS psyop, thinking it was so unusual how at first it was just IV drug users and homosexuals. And then it was like, no, everybody, not just people who were living a low immune lifestyle. Anybody can get it. And then at that point, it scared me. I was really young when all this like stuff broke with the whole AIDS stuff. I was in my like, I remember watching this show on MTV called Sex in the 90s. It must have been like 91, 92, 93. They had a new one like every so often. There were like tons of them and I watched them all. And they would show normal young white people who had, quote, gotten HIV and then gotten AIDS. Of course, they had gotten AIDS from either a vaccination or from AZT, which was an old chemo, quote, therapy medicine that was killing too many people as a, quote, chemotherapy medicine. So they were utilizing it for people who had, you know, the HIV virus, according to the PCR test. But they would just show these regular looking white people, just normal everyday people. I'm thinking like, oh my God, this is just a regular person. This isn't like some bum, some hobo, some degenerate, you know, some low life. This is just like, I remember this one normal white girl. She was pretty. She had like short blonde hair and bangs and she supposedly had. And I'm thinking, how does a pretty young girl like this have AIDS? You know, so it really hit home for me. And I was only like 11, 12, 13 years old. What did I know? You know, it was so young. Thoughts of Seeds is also saying, and the media campaign was massive. The huge music festival with Sting and other puppets. Yeah, exactly. Remember that song they all sung? Wasn't that We Are the World thing part of the AIDS thing? Or was that something that was prior to that? But yeah, remember all the AIDS concerts? Yeah, this is a really good point. Thank you for bringing that up. But yeah, all those concerts, Live Aid. That was it, Live Aid. Wow, they really, maybe in the future they'll have this shit for like Oid AI, right? They'll call it like whatever. I don't know what they'll call it, but... Yeah, they really wove it into COVID. I was just thinking the same thing for a second. Well, yeah, like that documentary, Once Were the Living, COVAIDS, right? That's brilliant because what is it? What is vaccination? Acquired immune deficiency syndrome, AIDS, right? What they originally called GRIDS, gay-related immune deficiency syndrome. It is what it is, right? It's an immune system or shitstem dysfunction. Anyone who's got this vaccination and even the tests, they really snared people with that. I mean, their immune system is going to be compromised. I mean, I know people who didn't get the vaccination, who got the test. And like, now they're like, holy shit, like, what did I do? Like, did I just get myself vaccinated? Like, did I fuck up? And people had asked me like, what am I going to do? Like, how can I detox off of this? And like, I don't want to black pill anybody like ever. I don't really want to do that. I just want to put the information out there. So I always try to be positive and constructive and say, you know, drink some raw milk, you know, sweat, just eat foods that detox you. Just try to bump up your detoxing foods. But I don't know if there's really any way you can detox from this. And I don't know. I don't want to lie to anyone, but I don't want to just totally demoralize someone by saying that. But I mean, once you've got this in you, especially this new COVAIDS or OID thing. I mean, shit, it's in you, right? It's in you, especially with the whole nano thing. It's like you have this mini Skeksis, this mini OID that's like burrowed its way into your body. It's like part of your anatomy. And it's like a OID with a joystick, you know, like the harping OID with a joystick. And now it's going to take over your body. It's like going to command like a parasite can take over function for some of these animals, like bite onto it and then, you know, basically animate the animal. I mean, it's frightening. It's almost like when you have your hand up a puppet and you're playing with the puppet. That's kind of what it is. It's horrifying. So I wanted to play this little clip right now. This is an amazing clip. This is Agnes von der Planitz talking about cancer and viruses and the polio hoax. So it's very apropos considering everything else that I've talked about thus far. Also, what I've talked about on that show, Womb to the Tomb, when I was talking about just the hoax of polio in general, that was always the viral hoax that gets all the boomers to say, oh, no, I believe in vaccination, polio. So hopefully, I don't know if any boomers listen to this broadcast. I hope some do, of course. I hope everyone listens to it, honestly. But this is a very interesting clip. Let me just get it to the right time so we can all listen to it. Okay. We'll start it right about here. Here we go.
Every cell in your blood deficient. It will break that molecule. It'll start breaking up those clusters of smorgasbord. And the cell may get anywhere from 23 to 70 nutrients instead of 93 to 117. So your body goes under constant deficiency. Undergoes constant deficiency because you use salt. Salt is the big way that the King and Queen of England used to subjugate a lot of people for a very, very long time. And the King and Queen of England, that family owns almost all of the salt manufacturing in the world. And it's not a good thing. Sure, it helps preserve food and it'll help mummify you. Of what? Dead cells. What is cancer? Collection of dead cells. And again, like Samuel Epstein said, Dr. Samuel Epstein, one in every two men gets cancer, one in every three women today. That's a horrible rate. How can that be? Okay, we look back and we see where the start of it began after World War II. Now, what was World War II used? In my research, I found that World War II was used to bring in canned and preserved foods, industrially canned. What happened immediately after the canned foods came in after World War II? Tonsillitis and poliomyelitis. Two metal-forming diseases that dissolved the spinal cord and the tonsils. Now, the tonsils protect the brain from any kind of toxin that's in the food that you eat. And it started rotting and deteriorating the tonsils exponentially. They didn't blame it on the canned foods. What they did was started 61, the King and Queen of England who runs 70% of all and owns 70% of all the food manufacturing in the world, started lining the tin cans inside with plastic. That's when plastic came into fold. They didn't tell you, they didn't want to tell you why they were all of a sudden plasticizing the inside, because people would have linked a lot of diseases like tonsillitis and polio to that. And then what happened in 1958? Drop in polio went down to less than 1%. And that's when the vaccine came out the year after. But they cured polio. Nonsense. No vaccine has ever cured anybody of anything and prevented anybody of anything. When I did research from 93 to 96 at the Sorbonne Institute in France, 3 months of every year for those 3 years, a little over 3 years, I had a translator. I can read a lot of French, but I can't do all of that, not in technical form. So I had a translator with me, and not one animal ever survived Pasteur's vaccines. They all went into anaphylactic shock and died. Now you have to take a look at that. Why did they die? Because when the body has that kind of toxicity in it, it supposes that it's going to die. That's it. It's going to die. So it goes into anaphylactic shock and dies. So what did the pharmaceutical industry, Rockefeller and them, decide to do? They started putting formaldehyde in first, and they found that fewer animals went into anaphylactic shock. Then they went into putting mercury and other substances in it, liquid aluminum, mercury, formaldehyde, ether, and detergent were the main ones. No ingredient in a vaccine is safe. They are all toxic on their own account. And when you put them into a soup, what do you have? So don't let anybody ever tell you you're a bad parent. Just say to them, okay, and I have the research down. You can go to my website. I think it's there. And I don't run the website, but you can go to wewanttolive.com. The TO is a numeral 2. And get what's in the vaccines, and you take that to a doctor, your school, or whatever it is, and you say, you can explain to me how these can be safe and good when they're toxic. They're known toxins. And then you get them to sign a waiver, take responsibility for anything that happens up to $1 million, and they won't do it. You won't have to have vaccines. So if you want to reverse cancer, you have to stay away from doctors, you have to stay away from medication, you have to stay away from anything that's going to cause damage to cells in your body and collect dead cells. It's that easy. And my diet, the primal diet, works very, very well in conjunction and removing cancer pretty quickly and other diseases along with the hot tub baths. Thank you very much for everyone coming, and I hope I've helped you.
Thank you. All right. Very good clip right there in regards to elaborating further on the polio hoax. And what he just said there in the end about cancer and healing cancer. The allopathic, quote, treatment of cancer, I think typically has like a 17% success rate. And his success rate was supposedly 95%. So, I mean, it just goes to show you that some of these treatments, you know, they may treat symptoms, but long-term, there's always a price to pay with allopathy. Remember, it's right in the word, other suffering, allopathy, other suffering. It's right there. Okay, so I'm going to keep this little show brief because it's just a health bite. It's just something to add to the week for the broadcast. Just put something just kind of light and easy out there. So I have one more topic. I think I've got one more thing that I want to talk about for this broadcast. It's a little bit shifting gears, but it is still on the vein of health. Everything I talk about is about our health, whether it be our mental, spiritual, whatever it may be, it's still in the guise of our health. So I found this exceedingly mind-boggling article. I actually see there's a couple of different titles being utilized for this article. Some of them feature different races depending on who is writing it. So the one from Yahoo Finance says, Amazon primate aims to double U.S. Black employees in leadership this year. This is from 2 days ago. I see another one from Business Insider that says, Amazon primate is aiming to halt the hiring of white people by 2023 in an aim to create a more diverse and safe working environment. Let me see if I can just bring up this story from Business Insider. What a piece of crud, right? What a piece of absolute garbage right here. Let me just see if I can find this. Amazon is aiming. Business Insider. Is there a search tab on here? Yeah, there is. Okay, we'll just search for it for a second. So basically, this is a form of white genocide. You're going to basically not allow someone to take a job or basically not give someone a job because they're white. This is all part of the Hala hoax that happened last year, which was the whole George Floyd PSYOP. That was the Hala hoax, essentially. It's another Hala hoax, you know, however you, but it's essentially, that was a burnt offering. Think about that, you know, because the whole Holocaust with the whole Dresden and all that miserable stuff that they did, the whole Floyd PSYOP ended up being a PSYOP as well with the whole Holocaust thing or Hala hoax thing, because that was a burnt offering. Think about all the chimping, all the chimp stuff that we had happen after that, right? So that was definitely, wow, interesting to think about it that way. I am having a difficult time finding this article. It was from 1 day ago. I tried to find it before the broadcast, but it was also difficult. But I was on my mobile. I was not on my phone. I feel like they're making it hard to find the article, which is really weird. There's so many articles on here. It's unbelievable. Who writes this garbage, this drivel? I'm going to go in the back way and try to find it. All right. This is definitely worth talking about because, I mean, they're depriving us of jobs. I mean, I've heard that Amazon Primate was like not really the place that you want to be working anyway. It's just kind of like a shitty place. Amazon, let's say, diverse working environment, working environment. I mean, how could they say it's going to be a safer environment if whites aren't there? I mean, could you imagine, right? Amazon has a sexist and toxic culture. I can't seem to find this. Whatever, we'll go with the one about hiring more Blacks, because if they're looking to double U.S. Black employees, what does that technically tell you? That tells you that they're not going to hire whites, right? Amazon said on Wednesday it was aiming to double the number of Black employees in senior leadership roles. This is exactly what Mike has been talking about in all of these shows that he's done, like how we've always had these senior leadership roles, and now they're going to just let the whole thing just evaporate, right? So they're looking to put Blacks in senior leadership roles and hire 30% more Black people as corporate employees in the U.S. this year. This is exactly what we talked about on the last show with the whole Fed, what they're doing with the whole Fed, or the Federal Reserve. Amazon data shows that Black employees in the U.S. in leadership roles account for 3.8% last year. The Seattle-based firm is also targeting to have 30% more women in tech and science-related senior leadership roles in 2021. Now, that whole women thing, that's just a way to get majority women in there and say, women, 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 you know, and not do like the whole race thing. But like, just like in March, they were trying to play up the whole Women's History Month. Every advert, everything I saw for Women's History Month was all majority women. It's just, it's another Black History Month, essentially. A manager at the online retailer sued the firm last month for harassment and discrimination, saying it hires Black people for lower position and promotion comes later for them than white workers. Well, I think we all know why that would be happening, right? At the time, Amazon said it was investigating the claims. It said it strives for equitable culture and has no tolerance for discrimination. These allegations do not reflect the efforts or our values. Women comprised 31.4% of Amazon's corporate employees in 2020, whilst it had 22.8% women in senior leadership roles. So this is just a way to get less white people to be working, essentially. Basically, this is a form of genocide, to basically not hire someone for a job, to give the job to someone else who is very much less qualified. But because we had this holla hoax thing, this Floyd thing was basically a holla hoax that happened last year. This is all the fuel. This is all the oil for the wheel, the PUFA oil for the wheel that Zog needs to basically get this going. Just like we talked about with the whole Chauvin case, that could go either way. Like depending on what the verdict is, the Jews media will steamroll it into whatever they want it to be. But I thought that Amazon thing was just mind-zing. Let's see, we got a couple of comments over here. Thoughts as Seeds is saying, if an industrial preservation method chosen were all by accident or random, they know still how exactly what they were doing, choosing to go with. Yeah, exactly. How is that legal? I saw something on Tom Wood Graham called On 10, which a bunch of companies planning on hiring 1 million Blacks within 10 years. I don't know how it is legal. That's a really good question, OG. I have no idea. I don't know. I mean, maybe this is under like affirmative action or something. I don't even know if that's an actual legal clause. Thoughts as Seeds is saying, yes, hire more diversity. It'll fall much quicker. Also, the more they exclude the whites, the more should wake up and work for higher. Yes, that's it. That's the silver lining of this type of stuff. And then OG is saying, I hope, but so many whites are so hopelessly lost. They would rather die than stay on their own race. Yeah, there's still a lot of that. And they're too afraid to be called racist. Yeah, it's true. They're afraid to be called all of these things because they're still, I think if they were to give up the TV and maybe hang out with someone who was like going to quote red pill them, you know, or whatever, maybe they would be more likely to see things for how they are, but they're stuck in that normie or that normative loop and everything they expose themselves to, from the crap they eat, from the crap they watch, from the crap they talk about, from the crap they do with their day. Like their whole day is just like they're on a hamster wheel and it's just they're seeing the same stuff over and over again. It's like the people all over anti-social media that are just propping up the vaccination. Like they're just doing all the work for Zog. They're just doing all of Zog's dirty work. Like Zog doesn't even need to do hardcore propaganda these days because these Zog bots will do the propaganda for the Skeksis system. They'll just do it on the dull because they're basically their brain damage. I mean, it's kind of crazy when you think about the fact that a lot of people are walking around with a brain that's damaged. I mean, that is, that scares me, honestly. That scares me a lot when I think about things these days. That's a pretty crazy thing, all the brain damage that people have going on in the world these days. I mean, from every different angle, especially people who have just gotten this Oyed AI vaccination, I mean, they're bound to be really badly brain damaged. Wow. It's hard to just fathom these things sometimes, that there really are two worlds. Like Mike had said on one of the last broadcasts, we really do have an intense bifurcation going on right now. And there are two worlds, you know, it's like, simply just, you can't even have a conversation with some people anymore. You really can't. thoughts as seeds of saying it's all fed to them. Their thoughts are created from the raw material fed to everyone. Yeah, it's true. I mean, people still think that cholesterol is bad. I mean, that's where we're at with some people. They still think that they still believe in the dietary heart hypothesis of Zogon Savory, Ansel Keys. You know, people still believe at that. I mean, people think that eggs are bad for you, you know, like, I mean, wow. I mean, yeah, some of the eggs in the store are pretty horrible because of the way the chickens are treated and because of like what they're fed. It's really not a healthy diet for the bird or for you, but that's all zagriculture. That's not real stuff. That's just what they do to food to poison it. So they can sell you this vegan sludge and you'll be, oh, this is a good alternative. This is better. No, it's not. It never has been. It never will be. So creepy. I was at the store the other day. I was at Trader Joe's and yeah, they stock the tranny meat like next to the regular meat. And I look at the tranny ground meat because most of these tranny products are ground. They haven't really, I think, mastered how to make like a tranny steak yet, but I'm sure they will, or they'll 3D print it. But I was looking at this stuff. It looked like it was like, you know, ground beef and it had what looked like striations of, you know, fat running through it. And I'm thinking like, all this is, it's like some nasty pea protein crud. It's got, you know, beet powder, probably some other things in there to make it red. It's got non-heme iron, which is not really good. Listen to yesterday's broadcast if you want to learn more about iron. It's got synthetic vitamins. It's got polyunsaturated fats, natural flavors, all these gums like guar gum, xanthan gum, and locust bean gum, GMO soy. I mean, how is this healthier than beef? I'd rather eat the shittiest beef from like a White Castle or something. I thought I've ever had that, and I'm not endorsing it, obviously. I'd rather eat that than eat this like trans burger. It's just, people have really, they'll believe anything. It's just, it zoggles my mind. And the more I learn, it's like the more I learn, like I'm thankful for like what I learned, but then I find myself getting more frustrated with people who still believe crap, you know? And I'm thinking like, okay, be gentle. One time, maybe you fell for some of these pogroms too. Like, you know, just be gentle with them. And like, I typically am. I'm not the kind of person that's going to, you know, basically accost somebody for what they do. I hope better for humans. You know, I have this hope that I want better for people and I don't see it sometimes. So it can be infuriating because one of the most important things, like I said yesterday on the broadcast, one of the most important things that you can do in this world is eat well. I know it sounds like kind of just simplistic. Some might even say it's selfish. It's not selfish. It's self-care. That's okay. If you want to call it selfish, whatever, it's self-care. Self-care is an amazing thing. It definitely is. So people should always be mindful of what you eat, like has it reverberates hugely. I mean, look at the people who have spent like 40, 50 years eating crud and they're zooming around like a Walmart or whatever in their little scooter and they're howling at you because you don't have the chat feedback on, right? I mean, all of a sudden, this person who looks like hell, who's never cared ever about their health, all of a sudden, like it matters and you're like the problem. Like, I just don't get it. I'm just checking out like one of these like vegan propaganda websites because I just talked about that tranny Trader Joe crap. And I'm just seeing the shit that they're putting on here. Get a load of this. Robert Downey Jr.'s venture to fund vegan bake-ups, bacon startup. 12 black vegan women discuss social justice and change. crap. Total crap. Promoting Starbucks, promoting Beyond Meat. I mean, how much more Zog could you get than that? Seaspiracy, that film I talked about yesterday. They're promoting all these majorities who basically are eating a malnourished diet. And pretty soon, they're already kind of veering there with a lot of their stuff, but pretty soon they'll be saying that, like we talked about in the show about dairy being racist, the idea that dairy is racist. Pretty soon they'll be saying that all animal products are racist. They'll even be saying that because now people have such messed up DNA from eating poisonous food, from all the vaccinations. See, they'll do anything to get us away from our natural diet, whether they'll use the ruse of germs, the ruse of racism. They'll use whatever ruse they have to use to get us away from our natural human diet. These are psychological pogroms. Do not fall for them. Viruses are good. Being a racist is good. Everything they tell you, do the opposite. So I think I'll end it there. I'm getting kind of hungry. I've got some food downstairs that's pre-prepped, but I'm going to eat. Let's just check out these comments before I close the broadcast out. Thoughts as seeds is saying their thoughts are created from raw material. Okay, it's nonstop demoralization campaign aimed at anyone who can think. Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, have a good night, OG. Thanks for joining us. It's nonstop, like that Biden clip about immigration, nonstop, right? It bombards them, but they have to find ways to kind of get out of that loop and find other ways to connect with people. Even if it's not in real life, connecting with people via, you know, the computer. There are some people out there who you can connect with, who you can share some camaraderie and some, you know, some beliefs with. And that's healthy and important, especially if you don't have people in your real life that you can talk about these things with. And some of us are in situations like that. That's unfortunate, but it is what it is. So it is important to have that camaraderie just so you don't go crazy yourself because everyone else is being demoralized all the time with these Zog pogrom campaigns. So I'll leave it at that. I hope everyone enjoyed this first edition of Health Bites with Tabitha. This was called Vaccine Voodoo. This was a show where we talked a bit about vaccination and then in the end just talked a little bit about that whole Amazon thing that was worth mentioning because that's part of health. If they're taking away the way for people, white people, to earn a decent living, to feed themselves and feed their family, that's a form of genocide. I mean, there's a UN definition or a UN definition of what constitutes genocide, and they're keeping someone from being able to make money and feed their family. That's a definition of that. Of course, maybe the silver lining will be that they will be more likely to go into other things, bridge into other avenues of income, and just give the middle finger to the Skeksis system. So I am your host, Tabitha. This has been Health Bites with Tabitha, Voodoo, Vaccine Voodoo. Be sure to catch all the wonderful broadcasts over here on the American National Radio Network. Wishing everyone an amazing Friday, wherever you are in this big white world. Do something good for yourself, whatever it may be, or do something good with somebody else. Okay, Sat Nam, everybody.